trees. And so that was really dynamic. And then before we left, we had a team family meeting, and that was really a great environment for us to pray with each other. Carol and Don was there, and one thing that Carol mentioned in kind of a prophetic voice as she was sharing with us was hope. It's helping others, people, emerge. And that's exactly what the vision of our team was to go down, help these women emerge in their homes as spiritual leaders. And so as a result of that, it was really a benefit for us to go this past week. So it was really a blessing. So I'm going to ask the team members to come up, and they may be just kind of sitting here on the stage a little bit. And you know what we did a lot is we just asked the Holy Spirit to lead us, direct us, and guide us. We did some preparatory things. We wrote down on 3x5 cards some of a 2-minute testimony a little bit about something God was doing in our life, you know, taking a scripture out of the Gospels or somewhere and sharing that, because we just need to be ready in season and out of season, okay? Say it with me. We need to be prepared in season and out of season, because if you don't have enough going in, and that's what Marcy's testimony was in one of our devotion times, if we don't have stuff in there, then what are we going to pour out? The newest movie we watched? Newest joke we heard? You know, if we don't put the light in, then the light has a hard time coming out. So what you're going to hear this morning is just a little bit of our whole story. But we want to do more than just tell you our stories, okay? Clint's first time to the Banos. You know, we want to go beyond that, okay? Although that was a great experience for Senior Clint, it's not necessarily where we want to stop this morning, okay? So they've brought some of their artifacts that kind of prove that we went, okay, just in case you didn't think we really went and we pocketed the money and went to Vegas, okay? Anyhow, they did bring some stuff, and you're welcome to come down a little bit and look at some of those things. But if you would, this is our team right here. We're standing outside of the church on Nalanega, okay? What a good-looking team there. Over on the left-hand side is Pastor Nico, and he's like the indigenous pastor that oversees kind of like all the churches that Alan and Kathy have been raising up. All the churches are under one name, Word of Life. And so we learned, I didn't really know this, kind of had some thoughts about, because we knew he had been down there for like 15, 16 years. Actually, he was there in 1990 and established the church. And as a result of that, later in 1993, when the Kunas shut down any more church development, they said, you are a church in our community, and you can establish whatever you want to, but they have to be all Word of Life. So they're kind of like a denomination down there among the Kunas. So they have churches on several islands and also on the mainland, and those are all Word of Life churches. And so that's been kind of grandfathered in. So that is a great blessing that God has led them to. So they've been down there since 1990. And he did do some ministry work in the early 80s, but then came back to the States and then went back in 90. So they've been down there for a long time, huh? So what a great time. Well, here are just some pictures about us leaving the States. Marcy going through the little pat down. And I had something left in my pocket. I meant to take it out and put it over my head, you know, but I forgot to. And, you know, so they were doing the little frisk me kind of thing. And Clint standing on the little feet there. And there's our group right there saying adios or something. So we arrived in Panama City. Now, this beautiful picture here that you're looking at is not what it looks like everywhere, is it, Señor Don? This is where you go to the watering hole, and we'll come back to it later, but it's a great backdrop. But this is the path to the watering hole, which I think is very meaningful, that where the water is, that's where it's beautiful, huh? So this is our family, Marcy, and me, and Andrea, and Amanda. And she flew down, or drove down, and was going to do an interactive thing with me this morning, but I don't think was able to get that together. And then there's our other group. Now, I want to go back to this picture here because in 2009, this picture didn't look like this. Amanda, if I showed it to you, she was not smiling. You could not see her pearly white teeth. And she wasn't standing close to us. She was a little distant with her arms crossed like, why am I here? And God changed her life on that trip. She really accepted Christ for herself, you know, knowing as an adult to say, I'm going to follow the Lord. And then also was filled with the Holy Spirit along with Andrea. So you can tell that things have changed since then, huh? So what a good team. Trish was probably nervous, one of the most, about getting outside the States. But I tell you what, she was a trooper. She made us look good, I'm telling you what. You know what I'm saying? She was, they said, oh yeah, here comes the Americans. And yeah. Now we were checking into the hotel there in Panama City, and we got kind of bored. It was late at night. I was trying to make a deal with the guy, and Alan was kind of hassling about some things. And then finally we got it all straightened out. So they just played some games. And who won this game? Was it you, Marcin? It was Marcin. Or Geneva? It was a tie between you guys. Now what's interesting is we used this game time later on the islands in talking about spiritual warfare. So that was kind of cool. So here we are landing. This is the plane that Carol did not want to get on last time. But I know she feels good about it now. She's asked to be able to sit on the outside of the plane this next time and not actually go inside the cabin because she feels so good. But it's a little bitty plane, and it lands on the El Porvenir, which is the big island that has an air strip on it. The planes use almost the entire strip, you know, to make it happen. But anyhow, I don't know who that is in the middle. I don't know if that's Kid Rock or who is that? Oh, that's Andrea. Okay. She had her cool hat on. And Clint. Meeting up with some of the Pastor Nico in the middle there that I'm reaching back, touching his hand. And help me out on the other peoples. Kevin is leaning into me. Uh-huh. Adencio, and then over on the far left is
Joseph,
that's right. Now this picture, you just don't realize how cool this picture is, but this picture is our luggage. But it all got there on the same day. See, last time when we went, it came like, we had boxes that came, or luggage that came like a couple of days late, and I think Marcy's was one of them, I think. So, but everything made it. And that cardboard box has candy in it. It has balloons for children's ministry. And what's those other things? Bubbles. Bubbles. And so, anyhow, what a great picture that is. And we're like overweight. They only give you 25 pounds. And then you have to pay for anything over that. So I'm expecting a lot of this to be left behind and come over on another trip. But it all got there. It cost us $150 to bring it there. But it was worth it. Inside these bags isn't just our clothes, but we also brought incredible stuff that I think it came from you guys, and you don't even know it, and they're Bibles. And we blessed so many people with those, and then a bunch of stuff for the clinic and some different things. Shoes. How many pairs of shoes did we take?
I don't know.
I think those little flip-flops, we had like 60 some of those, I think, or 50 or so. And then we had some Crocs that people gave us, too. So this is Alan, and you just don't normally see him in a T-shirt, but what a great shirt. Do you know what this word is across his chest? Pape Bendakin. And it actually means God bless you. So he's supporting that. And on the back, I think it said, like, Father...
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it was on the back. So this is El Porvenir right here. This is where we ate dinner and lunch most of the time. And just some of their beautiful molas that we purchased, and shirts. You know, we took those, we took money to actually buy these molas, not so much that we would come back and go, ooh, ah, look what we bought, although some of them are really ornate and beautiful. But we really did it to get into their lives and into their home life, and that's we'll see more of that. So before we got loose on the island that first day on El Porvenir, we had a special time of just connecting and getting ready. The women were planning a women's outreach, a ladies' gathering, and we took sacks, paper sacks, that the team on one day, they decorated all the sacks, and then we put toothpaste and toothbrushes and soaps and shampoos and material and different things inside those. And so they're planning all that. And then the youth, this is our interpreter on the left side there. His name is Abraham. And what's really funny is his brother was our interpreter last time, Andy. So anyhow, he was really supportive of our team. And this is where we're practicing one of our skits there that Diana put together for us. Nala Nega is the mother church, if you might want to say. It's the mother island that Alan and Kathy live on and Nico lives on. It's kind of the hub. It's kind of close to El Porvenir where the airport is. And so when we come in there, there's a lot of light there because that's the main opening of the church. I mean, this is where you're going to find the main church that really mothers all the rest of them. And it's out of this church that God has birthed the vision to reach these islands all the way to Colombia. And this is our team in the boat. Do you see anything funny about that picture in the boat, in the middle of the water, in the boat?
In the boat.
In the boat. Do you see?
Somebody's got a blanket.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The Arabic woman has the blanket. No life preservers, huh? No life preservers. Now, some of this water isn't very deep because of the coral reefs. It may just be three, you know, maybe knee high, but then others of it is big enough for large vessels to come in. So, but we didn't wear a life preserver during these small shuttles of 10 to 15 minutes. And that is the postcard right there. I mean, that's it. That's Alan, the missionary with the ball cap on. And that is the iglesia, the church of Nala Nega. Notice to the right-hand side, there is a solar panel up on the air. And that pulls in electricity to recharge the boat batteries. And those boat batteries cost about $300 a piece, and the regulator costs $30. So they'll last not just 1 year, but 3 years. So, and then that's their hut behind the solar panels there on the far right-hand side. Now, this is our first day, and I don't want to describe it to you. I'd like one of our team members to do that. So let me grab this microphone here. Let's grab this one here. I think this was mic that Marcy was using, Rick. So right here, who wants to describe our first day as we hooked up with the Kuna team?
Clint does.
Clint does, yeah, he's playing. We took my guitar, it's over there in a little case, and Clint jammed on it. Go ahead and stand up and tell us what happened that very first day as we was connecting with the Kuna team.
Okay. We got there, and we went into the church, and they were kind of doing a little bit of worship, and someone told me to get that guitar and play it, and then so then I was up there playing it, and then those two came up and sang, and it was cool.
Remember what song you sang?
Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
Did they know it in Kuna?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Diana, tell us, go ahead and stand up there. Her mic's kind of hot. Tell us a little bit about our time of prayer with the Kunas that very first day.
We got paired up with...
A little closer here so we can really hear you, okay? He'll turn it down if it's too loud. Yeah.
We got paired up with one of the Kunas. At first, it was, we were all in a circle, and then us Americans, the team, and then the Kunas were on the other side, but we weren't mixed. So what Mickey did is he grabbed one of us and put us between two Kunas, grabbed one of the Kunas and put them between two of us, and then we broke off into pairs of two and prayed for each other, even though they couldn't understand what we were saying. They could still tell that we were praying with them, so that was pretty awesome.
It was good. It was a good time of blending our hearts because we had to work as a team. We weren't just there to do our thing. We were there to accentuate their thing in Christ. So we had a time of a worship, and everybody just really entered in. Now, this was a cool time. This is really what our heart was from get-go. And Geneva would help us out here. We went to this first hut. And I told them, we're going to teach you one, we're going to show you one, and then you're going to do one. So go ahead and stand up. Describe to us just a little bit about what was going on as we went from hut to hut, please.
Okay. It was really neat to watch. Everybody came out just to see what was going on. And then you could see the ones that were really welcoming and wanted you to come in their hut. And you could see the ones kind of step back and pause for a moment. I actually got stuck back in a hut with our interpreter and Pastor Nico because three ladies in one hut each wanted us to lay our hands on them and pray for them. And then the coolest thing is when we, that was really awesome too, but I didn't know what to do. And God just kind of worked through me, and these ladies felt really blessed, and you could tell it was God working. It wasn't me. And it was really neat, and Abraham was really excited about it. And to watch Abraham's the interpreter, and to watch him interpret it, and then Pastor Nico say it to him, you could just see each person filled with God and the Holy Spirit to speak to this one person. It's neat when you have to go from one to three people, and it still reaches that person. And then we went to another hut, and we all walked in, and the lady immediately started sweating and started crying. And she told the interpreter to tell us that she had had fever for 3 days, and as soon as we walked in, her fever broke, and you physically saw it. It wasn't just something you heard someone say. You could really see. You saw her as soon as we stepped in. She was dry. And the moment all of us stepped into the door, though, her fever, she just broke out in a sweat, and she started feeling better already, and she asked for us to pray over. And I think it was her husband or her dad that was over in the corner. They all age so well, so you can't really tell. But so they're over there in the corner, and then he was just, you could see, he was kind of like this. You know, he's real nice. He smiled. But then when all this happened, he just kind of opened up, and he smiled even bigger. And it was just neat to see her. And she, you just see that she felt blessed, and she was so thankful that God had brought all these people to her. And that was one of the coolest things about walking hut to hut.
That was a great time. She was vocal, you know. She spoke up, and I jokingly later turned to Alan and said, "Okay, so did you pay that lady to say that when we walked into her hut?" And he says, "No, man." He says, "That was the real McCoy." Let's go back here a slide. Trish, why don't you grab that mic there? Will you describe for us? You got to pray with two different ladies doing hut to hut, if I remember right. Will you stand and tell us what was unique about those women?
Well, I think this lady is the one whose husband wouldn't let her go to church. She was afraid to actually come in because she was afraid of him, I guess. And the other one, do we have a slide of that one?
No, I don't have that one.
Okay.
But it wasn't fear, but it was just that her husband wasn't saved, if I remember.
The other one, yeah. This one, I think, I don't know, I think kind of touched all of us because she was afraid and because, she, I don't know, she seems so young, too. And I think Mickey asked me to pray for her just because the home being kind of separated, the hearts being separated. But anyway, that was neat. I struggled at first with going head to head, and I talked with Marcy about it a little bit because this was like one of the first things we did when we were there was when we got onto the island was go head to head, and I was just so distracted by everything I saw, and I felt like I just couldn't even I could hardly pray, and I felt so inadequate with everything I was trying to do. I struggled, but God is really good, and I think that part of the struggle, like I said, was my eyes and just being so distracted by everything being so different, everything I saw. And I remember thinking, how am I going to get up in front of these people and share my story about what God's done in my life if I can't even pray because of being so distracted? But Marcy was struggling with her ears. She'd had an ear infection, was having some problems, and so I talked with her, and we just talked. I told her about the problem I was having, being so distracted by my eyes, and she was distracted by her ears. So we felt like God was just wanting us to pray that eyes would be open to see what we came to tell, you know, to show them, and that their ears would be open to hear. So we just took that and, you know, made it a prayer for what God was trying to do and not let the devil have what he was trying to do.
Good job. Go home. You know, and now tell me, how different is that here in the U.S.? I think it's the same thing. I think we often go to work, we go to Walmart, and we're distracted by everything around us that we miss this interaction with this lady that's in front of us who maybe is distraught, maybe contemplating, you know, doing something that she shouldn't do, you know, but we're so just in our groove that we just kind of miss. It's a different kind of distraction, but yet it's the same kind of distraction. If the enemy can get us, you know, looking out here so we don't really see what's really in front of us, then we miss that opportunity of maybe prayer time, conviction time. Maybe just a conviction about us. Maybe God's dealing with our heart, you know. But we miss that conviction because we're so distracted by the things around about us. So here's another, I think, really great time going hut to hut. That's Marcy. She's wearing the funky hat and keeping her ears and the sun off of her face and whatnot. And I appreciate you doing that. You got the microphone. Savannah, tell me, this is Savannah Ben over here to pray with this lady with her knee. Tell us what was going through your heart at that time, and this is your first time to do this. Go ahead.
Well, I was really nervous because I've never really prayed for someone like that before, and like I didn't even feel like when I prayed for myself that it would help, so I was like, how can I help someone else by praying for them? But like I didn't know what to say, I didn't know what to do exactly, and like God just like spoke for me, and the lady asked me to pray for her knee because it was hurting, so I touched her knee and prayed for her and everything, and I felt really good about it because I know that like God can use me, and I can pray and it will work.
Yeah. And she did. She was very bold and really came across really well. And it was a great time. So there's that lady there. Now this is Senior Nico. And we also, the church also purchased Spanish books that we could just take, because they just devour anything they can read. And so Nico, if he can read it and digest it, then he can give it to the other men, pastors, and women on the island. So a great time. And this is Dogepe, who is a cousin to Nico, and he is the
children's
pastor. And he's just like, we'll come back to him in just a minute. And this was exactly what we did, too. When we had downtime, we also had that moment of spending time in the Word and encouraging ourselves in the Lord. And just like Trish was distracted, you know, we needed to focus. And so we did some individual things. We also did some big group things. Now, hey, this is a fun trip right here. We had opportunity going across the bay, okay? Now, we're on the Caribbean side. And here we're going to go across the bay. And look at all, we're going to come to some really cool children. But here we are, we're renting a boat, and they made us wear life preservers on this trip that took about 35 minutes. And by that boat, the other one took us an hour to get there. But look at these kids here on Little Orange. Yeah, is there a house full or what? There's about 80 kids here or so that we ministered to. Really a great time. You can really tell the poverty, though. The poverty level of this island is just so much different than Nalanega. They're more recluse from tourists, and so they don't really get all that the cash flow for their artwork. They do get some, but it's just different. And Andrea, why don't you grab the microphone there and just share with us a little bit of what was going on here. You're with Abraham, and go ahead, babe.
I think we're singing right here, but it was really kind of sad to see how many children there were. Like, walking from the boat dock to the church was very sad because there were some kids that didn't even have clothes. And last time I remember there were so many that we actually did our little children's service outside in a little field that isn't there now anymore? Is it there?
It was there, but we were confined to the church this time.
Oh, yeah, because they wanted quiet, I guess. I really enjoyed the children's ministry, and I never really thought I would be a part of it, but for me, it just felt really awesome to be able to make a kid smile without even being able to talk to them. And I did get to talk to them about conversation and talking about other people and how you should use kind words, because whatever you do for other people, you do for God, and that He smiles when you make other people smile. And I don't know, I really enjoyed, I think I connected with the children the most, and they all knew my name, and it was kind of awesome.
Andrea. So here's some of those kids. They were blowing up balloons in the back, and passed them out. Amanda's there on the right. And here's the two pastors. Don, will you come up here? Let's pray for these guys. Why don't you share just real quick about your heart with these guys?
Because Little Orange is so far away from everybody else, they don't even get, you know, like Nala Nega and some of the other islands are rich compared to Little Orange. And so when we went in, we just felt this spirit of depression, oppression, and you can see it on the pastors' faces. You know, the children's pastor on the right that has the striped shirt, he said, you know, I really have need of children's materials. And we shared with Alan and Kathy later, you know, that Nala Nega really needs to realize that they are a sending church. They should never go to this island without something to bring to these people, because that is truly being the hands and feet of Jesus, and that's what they need. You can see it on their face. You know, they want to be the pastors. They want to be the people who reach them, but you can tell they're not even sure if they believe it themselves, because they haven't seen it in action. They haven't seen that love in action, that Jesus in action.
Good. Hey, Geneva, come over here with us and join Don. I'm going to ask Don if he would pray over these pastors, if their eyes would be opened up. And Geneva kind of had a word, come closer, had a word with for the children's pastor, you know, that he should use what he had available. Right? Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So was there more to that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead and share that if you would.
They're so new to Christ, you can just tell they don't know the stories. And so I was trying to tell him even the simplest Noah's Ark story. He was kind of looking at me with that blank look. I told him to take the coconut shells and empty them out. And they have a...
Look closer.
Sorry, can everybody hear me? I'm really shy, actually. They have a wash basin. And so I said, fill that with water and put the coconut shell in there and have that be Noah's Ark. And get little sticks for the animals and different colors. They have beautiful flowers. And he was just looking at me so lost. And it kind of hurt my heart, because you don't think about... I was raised up hearing the stories. It made me dawn on he wasn't raised up hearing these stories. So I tried to tell him to take the simplest things and make it into a story, but he laid on my heart big time. I want to pray a lot for him that he gets the resources he needs to even know the stories, just to make the simplest things into fun. And I was telling him to take fruit and make it the fruit of life and stuff like that. And I think that one hit him because he's felt the fruit of life. And so it's just kind of hard. It's hard. Think about it. They're taking such a big stand. They're saying, I just now started believing. I've never heard this stuff before, and I'm going to teach it. Okay, what do I do now? And you can just tell that was on his heart, and that was on his mind. What do I do now? I have all this stuff burning inside of me, and I have no clue what to do with it. And, I think praying for him a lot will really help, and praying for people around him to know what to bring him or what resources to bring him to help him spread, because you saw all the kids in there and he just loved every one of them. It was precious to watch.
So give me all the children, if you would just come up here right here and stand in front of Marcy and Geneva, and we'll use them as a point of contact as we pray for them. Somebody got a Bible up here? You might come with a Bible. Got a Bible? Here's a Bible. Okay, isn't that cool? Someone brought their Bible. That's worth an amen, huh? Amen. All right. So, Senior Don, why don't you hold this as a marker as we pray for these pastors. The senior pastors on the left, with two new Bibles. There was one other person that wasn't there that they gave the Bible to. So we got all these kids here. Just get up close there. So Marcy and Geneva and...
you guys help us.
Sherry? Come up here, will you? Shelly, she stepped out. So why don't you come up here and be part of this prayer, if you would. Just come close, okay? Let's start with Pastor Don and let him... rock heaven here with some words to break the strongholds.
One of the things about being in America is there's no other nation like us. No other one with a constitution like ours. No other one with the rights that we have that has produced a nation that knows how to give. When you go into a third world nation, they know how to receive because that's all they've ever done. And they don't know how to give. One of the main problems with the church all through Central America and South America is ministers can go to those churches and they will receive. However, they do not know how to send people out of their church to meet the needs of other people. They will gladly take someone into their church and support them as long as they're ministering to them. The concept of supporting a minister to go into other regions of the nation is completely void to them. And these are things that as we're going, we love Alan immensely. He has multiple teams that go to help build, to help do other things. But what he tells us about our group is that we go from a fundamentalist point of view of doing ministry, which absolutely rocks everything. So with all these things we'll be doing in the future with these guys is teaching them to send and raising up pastors. And the warfare there is it Korbisky? Tell them about Little Vegas real quick before, just a real quick thing.
Korbisky is an island that we'll show you here in a minute, and it's known as Little Vegas because only 4%, can you hold up four fingers? 4%, okay, not 40%, but 4% do not use crack cocaine marijuana or sell it, only 4%.
Now, if you wonder where Korbisky is, remember the day I preached on a Sunday morning? You went with me, and Jonathan went with me, and it seems like Jeff went with me also that morning. And there were, what, four or five of us. That's the island that has become worse and worse and worse. And there is this thing where we can see how America's being attacked, but these are strongholds of drug trafficking and stuff that is taking place within these islands. So as we pray for pastors, we want to pray that they understand not only that they're called to minister, but they're to do warfare. So, Father, we just come in the name of Jesus. And Father, just a simple prayer, but a powerful prayer. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to bind to these two pastors and other ones the heart of a missionary, the heart of Paul, the heart of Silas, the heart of all these men that have gone before them to go to all the islands. Father, we bind them to your plan, your purpose in their life. Father, we just loose, as you have given us the keys of the kingdom to loose, we loose your grace and mercy, not only on them, but through them to the people that they're going to reach. Father, we ask you to give them insight. We ask you to give them wisdom that as they grow in you, they begin to see and can discern between what has been their custom and what is an onslaught from the enemy to begin to destroy them. Father, we ask you to strengthen in them. May they comprehend the length, the breadth, the dot height, and the depth of your love, your compassion that is for them and for the people of the islands. That as they take this, it's not just getting to go preach, but they're actually doing real living warfare in the area that they are. So, Father, we ask you to bless them, to keep them, to give them words of wisdom. Just as our teachers here at this church are becoming greater and greater teachers to our children, and we ask for that anointing to grow upon them, we ask for the very same thing for the children's pastors there. Because being there, there's nothing but kids everywhere. And if we can affect the kids, then we affect the long term. And we just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now you guys all stand up. I want you to take a spiritual stance with us. Come on, stand up. I want you to take a spiritual stance. I want you to stretch your arms this way. I know it kind of feels like an armchair adventure, but it's not. It's an interactive service of ministering by the Spirit. I want you to stretch your hands up here towards these children. And as we pray for the children on Little Orange and through the Kunayala, the land of Kunas, Lord, I want you to see that what the Lord is doing there, but also in our midst, we need that same anointing among our children and our ministers that work with them. And you want to lead? Can you lead that out? Lead that out. There's a microphone right there. Go for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hear our prayer right now. Just pray with us if you would. Thank you, Lord.
Dear Lord, we just come to you and we raise up every child in Little Orange, within this church, all over. We know in every part of the world they feel your tug, and we know that there is evil around them that just oppresses them. And we pray to you that the people that are guiding them are touched by the precious souls that they possess. We just hope that through you on Little Orange, the pastors there receive all the help that they need to bring them to there. And we thank you for all the little children that are within this church. We see the Lord just present and working through them every single day. We pray that within that reach, may those little children reach out across the world. And that is the ultimate goal, just to raise up all the children into your name, and may they press out your word throughout the world. And one day we will see a world just full of you and no curiosity anywhere, and may your name just be spread everywhere. And just evil just shudder at every sound and everything that is mentioned in your name. We raise this high, and we just know within the faith in you that this will be done one day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you,
Jesus. All right, you may be seated, and children all go back. But you guys come right here, okay? I'll show you a picture of our last day. As we were doing our send-off, Clint had a word from the Lord. He said, what'd you say, Clint? Yeah.
I asked if anybody needed healing in the audience or whatever.
That's what you said. And there was one guy that ran up. He didn't need healing for his flesh. You know what he cried out for? To be saved. To be Christian. And that was cool. But Clint, here we have a young lady that needs to be healed. This is who you want to pray for this morning, okay? So if you'll stand up here. I thought we had some oil right over here, but I see it. I just want you to pray as you would have there if somebody would have stepped forward for healing. Just pray that for this young lady right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, bring healing. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just speak right now to her innermost being, Father. We pray that as Jesus shed his blood on the cross for our sins, the word says he died for our sins, our sicknesses, and our diseases. And Lord, I pray that you would bring healing right now as Trish is obedient to lay hands on the sick. Lord, and as Clint has spoken, Lord, let it be done in the name of Jesus, Father. In Jesus' name, bring healing to our bodies. All right, here we go. So, we also went to Aritupu. It's also just pretty close to Little Orange. Well, it wasn't really close. I was in the utility boat, and it went a little slower than the other, so it seemed like a lot longer than the other. But it came a rainstorm. If you'll see here, I can't really see too well, but I had a picture of Marcy. She was drenched from about the thighs down, and I think they're wet too. But we just kind of took everything up to the church, and this is Aritupu. Sweet people there. The children were really together. They worshiped the Lord. Uh-oh. Someone had to go to the restroom, and she says, what do I do? Okay. So anyhow, it worked out okay. She had a good time. The flesh is always on. It just continue flows, so... You know, Pastor Nico, he grabbed the guitar. We did some music there. And, you know, we took a boom box and a little amplifier. And they, too, have, like, batteries that get recharged. And so as long as the batteries are okay, then you've got, you know, a PA. Clint was ministering here. Did a great job. What'd you share on? Stand up. What'd you share on? Do you remember? Yeah. Tell us what you said. Yeah. Now he's having to translate. You know, he's having to say it out, and then the guy in the yellow shorts, he then begins to whisper the translation into Jaime's ear, who is the kuna, and then he would usually then do whatever we did. You know. So anyhow. Tell us exactly what went down. Give me just a little bit of more lights right here, Rick.
Okay, this is what I spoke to them over there. And it was on Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the sixth day, God created man. And God created man and woman in his image, which means we are like God and we have free will, which no one else, not even the angels, have. And we can choose to be like God and obey what he says, or we can be bad and follow after what everyone else is doing who's in sin. But when we sin, we hurt God and he feels pain. But when we obey him, he is happy with us. God loves everyone, and he wants us to be with him and be like him and stuff. And
remember that last part you just said? We can choose to be evil, or we can choose to be right. Go ahead.
Okay, we can choose to be evil, or we can choose to be like God. And when we do something good for him, he is really happy with us. And it helps us get closer to him. And whenever we do, like, whenever we sin or something, it can kind of hinder our relationship with him. And, you know, it's not good.
Very good. Very good. There you go. You know, it's being able to speak the word of God. And, you know, we wrote these 3x5 cards. Actually, these are smaller. But we did them like on a fourth grade level so they could understand. You know, their language isn't very broad. And so we kept it narrow. So thank you, Clint. It was a great time. It was a really good time. Amanda shared a little bit too. That was really exciting. She talked about Ephesians chapter 6 about children obeying your parents, and she talked about being a little disobedient when she was a teenager and doing things that she knew she shouldn't have done, and how it broke her parents' hearts. And but they continued to stand in the gap for her and pray for her, and as a result of it, you know, she turned around and gave her life to Christ and followed after the Lord, and what became pleasing to her father and her mother. So yeah, that was a good testimony. And of course, we gave them some gifts, and look at these smiles on these kids' faces, huh? Marcy, why don't you stand up and describe for us what was going through your heart at this time?
Well, it was amazing how, you know, just a little thing like bubbles could make them happy. And we really didn't want to quit blowing, but Diane and I were both running out of air, and so we decided to let them blow. And they had just as much fun doing that, just chasing them around and having turns blowing. And it just, there was a different feel on Ari Tupu. You know, it didn't have the depressed, oppressed feel that Little Orange did.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
That was good. Very good. Thank you. Well, Trish got to share also. Everybody got to share. And she just did a great job communicating and telling a little bit of her story. And I don't know if I picked that slide background for you or not. Or I don't know if those are fish or termites or bugs or what. But yeah, I thought it was appropriate. This was the little pastor and his wife there on Ari Tupu. And he reminded me so much of Jim Birch with his the way he is. Mannerisms. He's a pastor for Foursquare and Okmulgee. That's a good friend of ours, and played the part of Jesus in a couple of our skits here a couple of years ago. Okay, we got to Corbisky.
Can I share something
just real quick? Yeah.
That little pastor on Ari Tupu, the last time we were there was a different man and his wife that we prayed over. And one of the things that was really disappointing for us was a lot of the people who were pastors last time are not serving the Lord anymore, which tells us that they don't have roots. You know, first of all, they need the Bibles, they need teaching, they need some really strong roots to keep them there. And so we prayed over Levi and his wife that, that divorce would not happen with them. The other pastor, his wife was a lot younger. I forget the whole story, but anyway, he's on the mainland. We don't even know where she's at now. And so we prayed that, you know, just like we struggle in America with somebody coming and whispering in our ear, guess what your husband did, and trying to tear relationships apart, same thing there. So we prayed over her and told her, you know, whenever somebody comes and whispers something in her ear about her husband, that she wouldn't believe it, that she would believe the best about her husband and that she would support her husband and be that strength to him. And the same thing over him. Whenever somebody came to him and said, guess what your wife did, that he would say, I don't believe that. She's a godly woman. I'm not going to believe that. I choose to believe the best about my wife. So we prayed for that unit to be strong. It's amazing how God really laid specific things over each island and each pastor on our hearts for us to continue to pray for. This man's name is Levi. So when you want to pray for a strong marriage on Aritupu, pray for Levi and his wife to have a strong marriage so that they can be a light to that community about what strong marriage is about.
Four fingers, 4% of this island does not use crack, cocaine, marijuana, or sell it. And as a result of it, it's really devastating. Now, here is one of the pastors, associate pastor on the right. The guy on the left was with us traveling as a spotter. Korbisky just recently, Pastor Allen said he thought it was spelled with a K until they finally built the schoolhouse, and they spelled it with a C. So there's a senior pastor on the right, and I'm staying with the associate. And this is a new property that is next door to the property that Don stood on and preached when we were there last. And you can see it's pretty good size. It's about the same size as Nalanega, but it's in need of repair. You know, the termites really just eat up stuff, and the thatch roofs only last, you know, maybe 5 to 7 years, if that, you know, more like 3 to 5 years. And so they got the tarps in place. And I'm standing or squatting there by their automobile batteries, which don't last very long with the recharge system, and they're borrowing those right now. And then on the right-hand side are the solar panels. They don't have it on a tower yet, so there's a great need there. Now, behind the solar panel is the building that Don preached in, and you can see we're right next to the water there and just a lot of garbage there. And that's been cleaned up, okay? There was a team that came in and cleaned up the area, so this is looking a little bit better. This is the chief on Korbisky, and his son had found a boat floating in the water. Allen said that it was probably a kuna that didn't tie it up, or there was an accident or something, and so anyhow, they found this boat. It's really about the same size as the boat we've been traveling in all week. It does have a place for a mast on the front of the bow there. And it's still floatable. They just pulled it up out of the water. And so even though it's kind of bright and colored and stuff, the son wanted $1,000 for it. And the chief said, how about $500? So Alan was asking him, how about $450? And so that's what he's doing there. He's shaking his hand and he's asking me, he says, what do you think about helping me buy this boat? And the name of their ministry is Floating Bible Ministry, Boat Floating Bible Schools. Thank you. Floating Bible Schools. And I'm thinking, how can you have a floating Bible school if you don't have a boat? You know, they just have that one big boat that they really use. They have a dugout one that they don't use very often, but sometimes. So anyhow, I kind of made a little commitment with Alan that we would try to help him buy this boat for $450. They do know the art of using fiberglass. They repaired the other boat that we're traveling in. They put in a new floor in it. So they've done really good with it. So this is something that I, you know, would like for you to consider. We don't have to put the whole 450 up. If, you know, we could, you know, well, okay, we could do 650, and then that way they would have some additional money to do some other repairs. But, you know, I told them that we would try to generate some funds towards this. So I'd love for you to pray about that, because that is definitely really a need. They wouldn't have to rent the boat for $50 or $60 from the hotel. And so that would be something that would be money in their pocket. So Mamitupu is a smaller island that's close to Corbisky. And Jaime, who is the guy who interpreted for us to the Kunas on the second translation, Abraham and then Jaime, he goes to this island every Sunday on his own accord. He paddles over and goes to this little island. I mean, I can take a softball and throw it all the way across the island. That's how small it is. And their people, they're classic Kunas. They're lazy. You have to pay them to do anything or to stop doing it. This is a water project that this man signed off of, their president. And here's a sample of the water faucet that there that if they would replace that handle for 86 cents, they'd have running water there that would come to them from the mainland from the water project. But they're so caught up in just, you know, everything else. I think the drugs definitely overpower some of that too. But if they would replace that, they could have running water. It's rainwater. It's contaminated. It's not something I'm going to drink without it being filtered. But anyhow, a great need there. They were in the middle of a big party when we were there, an initiation of a young lady who was coming of age. But here's the ladies gathering, and we had some great ladies traveling with us. They just did so good. You've been so proud of them. You would have loved to have been there and heard the story. So let me just turn that over to Marcy, and you can kind of direct as you want to, Marcy, how you want to do that. There's a few pictures here.
That one picture where Mickey had the three of us sitting underneath the palm tree earlier in the slideshow. We all knew that God had given us a little bit to say, but we weren't really sure how we were going to put it together. And so after we came together and sat and visited, it became real clear to us that God wanted us to make a living room setting. So when we came to church for the ladies' gathering, rather than having pews, you know, like we have right here, we made a big circle. And we talked to them about the importance of friendships, how whenever we have those good godly friendships that we feed off of each other, it's just like the Bible says, iron striking iron. You know, we can encourage each other in the word, we can lift each other up in prayer, and it's only through those close Christian friendships that we find out what the other one needs, that we know what to pray. And that's something very foreign to them. You know, they don't want to share their secrets with anybody because the whole island will know. And so that was really a good time for us. And Geneva had some great scriptures out of Proverbs, and I'm going to let her share with you what she shared, because that was kind of the foundation of what we taught with the ladies. It was so good.
Right before I went, Mickey kept saying, "Do you have your golden nugget? Do you have your golden nugget?" And I was like, "No, no, no."
Stand up.
And I kept, this is how we sat in the, sorry. It just felt comfortable sitting like that. That's how we sat when we talked to the ladies. We were saying, "You're in our living room, and there's a lot of you that I've grown really close with, so I feel that comfortable, but I'll stand for you." It was Proverbs. The big ones that spoke to me were Proverbs 31, 10 through 12, 23, and then especially 31, 31. But this is where I start crying again. Sorry. The ladies, you could just tell they didn't feel very strong with each other. And something very moving happened the last day. And it was actually Marcy who got it together, and then I just kind of followed her. And so glad I did, because those ladies were so precious. And you could just see they had engulfed everything that God was placing in our hearts. They're very strong women. I thought they were going to be kind of weak, because I heard the husbands kind of ran the islands. Not that they're going to be meek. No. They are get up right in your face and tell you what they think. And it was kind of cool to see that. But sometimes it's not a good thing to be... the husbands made the decisions, but you could tell they were really bold. And sometimes they were bold about the wrong things. It said, "A good wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels." And at first that spoke to me on beauty, trying to let them know how pretty they are. But then... these ladies, when they make a stand for Christ, I was talking to Dawn, started crying on the phone. We just jump in our cars and go to church, and we think and I don't want to take anything away from anybody. We are making a stand for Christ. People see us go to church every Sunday. But I get to jump in my car. I don't have to see the looks. I don't have to see anything. I just get in my car, drive here, and I get to see all you precious people. And that give me big smiles and warm welcomes. Well, they actually have to walk out of their huts and walk through a whole island of people that don't go, that are kind of, we saw some looks like this when we walked through the island, and they have to do that every day, and that's their people looking at them like this. So they're making a huge stand. They are so far more precious than any jewel, because I finally saw it. God meant we hold these jewels real precious. Well, he holds us real precious. And he uses us to spread that word. Mm-hmm. And he uses them every day. And they have church. They go there all the time. And he uses them. And when they walk through the island or through all those huts, people see them and they know where they're going. When I jump in the car, they may think I'm going to a friend's house. I'm going to the grocery store. No, they know they're going to church. Trish and I started laughing at Little Orange. We were both just sitting there. They had this big, what was it? The thing that they, all of a sudden we hear this dong, dong, and we're like, what the heck? That was their bell to let everybody know that church was open.
Yeah.
How cool would that be if we can make a bell loud enough for everyone in Owosso to know it is church time?
Yeah.
And it was just neat to see that. And then the heart of her husband, trust in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the chiefs of the island. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. That's what I meant by these ladies are real bold, and they kind of, we heard them making fun of each other. That's not a good thing. And you could tell when God read that scripture, the kindness is on her tongue. You could tell a lot of them kind of smiled at each other. They were a little more open at that point. I'm sniffling, sorry. She looks well to the ways of her household and doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children raise up and call her blessed. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her words praise her in the gates. And that's 31:31. And then 12:4. A good wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. And that just kind of let them know when they get up and they walk with their husbands, or they, during the daytime, the husbands are out fishing and the women are making that stand alone. And so that was kind of really precious. I shared this with them and a lot of them opened up. I don't know how many people know here, but I had my daughter by myself for 7 years. There was times that I didn't have food, but my baby always did. Where's Ray Ray? I don't. Is she in? Thank goodness. Oh, God speaks blessed. Her dad cheated on me a week before we were supposed to get married, and I left. Lost trust in everything and even God. And so I lost my way, and for that reason, a lot of things happened to her that shouldn't have. And but once I found myself within him again, the funny thing is, even though I hurt myself, God, she always had good clothes. They weren't name brand, but they were always nice clothes. She always had food. And you look at me today, you wouldn't imagine anybody ever having to go through that. And I talked to these ladies about it, and some of them have gone through divorce. Some of them had husbands cheat on them right in front of them and just left. And so I told them, once I found trust within God and put him my number one man, I saw such a huge blessing come over our household. Rayleigh and I, we bought a house by ourselves. And I say we because that baby sacrificed a lot. And then God brought me Chris. And I was telling him about how even more blessed I am today. And you saw a lot of the ladies start crying. And they just, and I could see it work within them. I never thought my story would help anybody. But I told them number one was God in our marriage. And then it was Chris and I. And then through that, our kids would be blessed. And that's what I was trying to say. By through her upraising, her kids will see her as blessed. And you could just see it. And then on the last day, you saw it really touch one family that actually invited Marcy to their... I don't know how that worked out. I'm going to let Marcy tell you that story. But it was really wonderful. And I just want everybody to know here, too. When you're lost or alone, you're not ever alone. And that's what I told them. He's always with you, even when you don't think. And he will bless you beyond any means. And he has brought me the best, wonderful Christian husband I could have ever thought. So through that, I told them, it took me 7 years to find that. And I told them, do not lose hope. I don't care if it takes you 20 years. Don't lose hope. And I just pray, please pray for a lot of them, because there was a lady on the last day. She didn't even know who her baby was from. And she had lost all that hope. You could see in her eyes. And the women in front of her were making fun of her. And so that made Marcy real mad. She's like, we're praying for you. And it was neat to be able to share that story with her as well. And I shared it on, RE Tupu, and then it was wonderful to be able to share that story with her. And you could see something kind of light up in her. And that light up in her was the Holy Spirit. I'm just praying that she knows that she's not alone anymore. That he is the ultimate man that is with you. Yeah. And then through that, he has blessed our family.
Amen. That's good. Thank you.
You know, it was no accident that we didn't get to go in July. Had we gone in July, this would not have happened. Geneva would not have gone. Trish would not have gone. It would not have been about the ladies. God knows what he's doing. You know, God orchestrates what the devil means for bad. God always turns around for good. And Geneva was such a precious blessing to those ladies. She shared her heart just as she did with you today. And I see a lot of people wiping their eyes here this morning, you know, and that's how those ladies were. She just touched their heart, you know, with her experiences and what she went through. And I just, you know, before I have Trish get up, I just want to thank you all again for sending us, for believing in us, and for coming to all of our fundraisers and supporting us. And, you know, everybody helped in some way. And just like Carol said, helping us to emerge. We saw each person on this team emerge in a very special way. Trish was really nervous about getting up and sharing her story because, like she said, you know, she looks in their hut. And her eyes are so distracted because they look so different, but we found out that they were just like us. And what I encouraged Trish was, I said, you know, God's got two interpreters to work. So even if you say the wrong thing, we have to trust that God's going to get it right by the time it gets to their ears. So I think that gave her a little bit of confidence. So go ahead and share, Trish.
Well, like she said, my confidence was rocked even more just walking through and trying to pray with everyone and not being able to because I was so distracted because they looked so different than us. And so anyway, I had an opportunity to talk with Kathy, the missionary, before our ladies meeting, and I just shared with her that I didn't know how much of my story I could tell. You know, I didn't know anything about their culture. I'd been told that alcoholism and drugs were a problem, but I didn't know about divorce, if they even had divorce or how that worked. So I shared part of my story with her and just asked her, what do I do? And she said that she really believed that this was exactly what they needed to hear. She said, divorce is a real problem over here. She said, you share your story and you share it just like it is. So I was able to tell them about the years that Phil and I were married and the alcoholism and how that had destroyed our marriage and separated our hearts and really had beaten me down and that I came to a place of, you know, of just calling it quits. And, you know, about actually getting divorced and spending time apart and how, you know, Phil, because of all that, he found Alcoholics Anonymous, and in Alcoholics Anonymous, he found, you know, he was there, and that's where he actually found Christ. And that once that occurred, you know, and then he started trying to, you know, get our marriage back together, and that ultimately, you know, him finding Christ, and then me submitting to what I knew was God's will, and that was, you know, to put our marriage back together and our family back together. I was able to share that with them, and, you know, and we were hoping that, you know, that by drawing the ladies together, telling them, you know, Geneva opening her heart and all three of us opening up our hearts to them, that maybe they would learn how to share and draw strength from each other and to serve God together. And it was really, we didn't know for sure that day, you know, how much effect we had had, if any. But by that last day, we could tell that they did accept us. They did open up to us, and they did hear us, and that was really cool.
Nope. Yep, there I am. I'm going to share with my notes. I was really glad that Mickey had said to take 3x5 cards, because I didn't talk the last time we went to Panama. I just experienced. I was there and just prayed. I was just, you know, in the background praying. I didn't talk. And Mickey, since he and Don had shared, knew that you lose your train of thought by the time it goes through two interpreters, especially because the Kuna language is so much smaller than the English language that Nico practically has to preach whenever he gets, you know, so it takes a while. So I was really glad to have my notes to keep me focused on what I felt like God had had for the people. And, you know, just like we said, their culture looks so different, yet they're so much the same as we are. They need Jesus just as much as we do. The thing that is so wonderful about over there is they don't have nearly as many distractions as we have. You know, they do have cell phones now, which is amazing. They have family on the mainland that will buy a cell phone plan and come over and bring it to them, and that way they can keep in contact with their family on the islands. But other than that, that's about all the comforts of home that they share with us is a cell phone, and it's very different. They don't do the texting and play all the games and all that. It's just for a phone to keep in contact with a family member. So as a result, in some ways, they are much more blessed than we are, because they don't have the distractions that we have. You know, I know I can say for myself, and I know it's true for every one of these people here, when you take yourself away from all those distractions, all those things that are vying for your time that you need to be spending with the Lord, you can hear the Lord speak to you so much more. It's so much easier to be Jesus' hands and feet because you don't have all these distractions. You know, when they need healing in their body, they need healing in their body. And they're willing to believe, the faith of a mustard seed. They're willing to trust and just take that one little chance that much, that maybe what we're saying is true. And so they see instant healings over there because they don't have doctors. You know, they don't have the comforts that we have here in the United States. If I was going to say anything to us as Americans, to you, my family, you know, I call you my family because we share the same church together. In a lot of ways, I'm closer to a lot of you than I am my own family. And I love my family. Don't get me wrong. I adore my family. There's no problems in my family whatsoever. But I get to see each of you once or twice a week. And I don't get to see my family that much. So in some ways, I'm much closer to my church family than I am my earthly family. And if I was going to say anything to you that is what I said to them, it would be this. Are we being the hands of Jesus? Are we being the feet of Jesus? You know, if you're not putting that daily bread in your life every morning, then what do you have to give out of? My ears were just driving me crazy on the island because they were clogged. They clogged on the flight from Houston to Panama, and they stayed clogged the entire time. So I could hear, but I couldn't hear. You know how when you put your fingers in your ear, you can still hear what's going on, but you don't hear everything. And I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if it was spiritual. I didn't know if it was physical. Every person that I prayed for, I prayed for their ears to be open, that they would hear what Jesus had for them, just in case, you know. And I told Mickey on that first night, our first night there, we went over to Dog Island and played on the island where the boat is for the kids to see the fish and all that, because the team before us was finishing up that day. So when we came back to the island, they were worshiping in this big hut in the center, so we joined them and worshiped, and I just really felt a spirit of intercession come on me, and I was just in the ground just praying and crying and snotting all over the dirt and just pounding the dirt and just telling the devil, I came here to do something, and you're not going to keep me from it. So that night, whenever I went to bed, I told Mickey, I said, I don't care if you have to carry me and put me on that boat tomorrow. I'm going. You hear me? And he said, well, why wouldn't you be able to go? And I said, I'm just saying. You know, if I get up in the morning and I say, my ears hurt too bad, I don't want to go. I said, you physically put me on that boat. I said, I'm mad that my ears are driving me crazy. I came here to do a job. And so what was neat about it, though, is because my ears were plugged, because I couldn't hear a lot of the distractions going on around me, I found myself in prayer a lot. I found myself praying in the Spirit a lot. I found myself reading my word a lot. And because of that, I had a lot to give. I felt more used of God than I ever have in my life. And it felt good. I felt so alive and so blessed and so privileged to be used of God that much. And you know, each one of us has that desire within us. Each one of us has a desire to do something more with our lives. Yes, we all have to have jobs. We all have to work. We all have to pay the bills. But what are we missing that's right in front of us? You know, we get so focused on ourselves that we forget that there's a lost and dying generation right in front of us. I remember telling Don at the beginning of the year that I was really excited about this year, and I didn't know why. It was more than just a January 1st new beginnings excitement, that I really felt excited that something was going to happen this year, and I didn't know what it was. But I think any time you put yourself in a position to be used of God, there's excitement. You feel a new excitement and a new beginning. And I'm kind of taken over, and I don't mean to. I did that the whole week. I just kind of had to keep pulling myself back and letting somebody else have a turn. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, before, while they were doing that, we had children's ministry going on, and Andrea's here blowing bubbles with the kids. Now, this is the old church that's part of Alan and Kathy's home, their hut, and everybody's chipping in, blowing up balloons. And then we also purchased sweet rolls. Pastor Nico, his father has a Panera factory, and so he made the sweet rolls for us. And then we also had pop that we also purchased from them also. And then after it was all over, after a time of fellowshipping, Marcy began hugging people, and we were giving them a sack. And then those that didn't want to be hugged, they went over to the other door it got from Geneva. And they're just not real accustomed to people hugging on their necks, you know. But by the time they got done, Marcy was getting some pretty good hugs. So, anyhow. But some beautiful kids, beautiful kids. So Andrea came up in our devotion time, one of the very first part of the week, about walking in this human mode that we live in and how that we are so insignificant as we walk in this mode. And as we begin to change and get into God's mode, then we began to see a significance take place in our life. And so this is where this phrase came from, human mode, and you'll probably hear me use it a few more times because I think it's a great, great description of who we are. Amanda's trying her little doodad at the bow, looking as a spotter, and actually I think she was surfing. And here we have, is that Kevin? No, that's Edencio.
Edencio.
Yeah, Kevin's on the left. And Clint says, I could do that too. So defying gravity there. So if you would, we want to, as we kind of wind down our service and this morning of sharing and hopefully ministering to your heart, we want to do a drama for you titled Wake Me Up. It uses a song called Bring to Life, and we might think of it as being, you know, that we're trying to wake them up, but really it's all about God opening our eyes so that we would wake up to that round about us. And we've had to substitute a few team players for this, but it's going to be really good. So this is a drama that Diana kind of put together for us with some music, and we practiced it there and then performed it several times, and has a really, I think, a good element to it about the spiritual warfare that we are all in. And how Very good, guys. You know, there is a fight for your soul. And we often just kind of take it for granted that we can just come to church and do this and do that. But God is standing in the gap for us. He's wanting us to step up. You know, here at this send-off service, Diana, you know, gave her word. It was really touching. She knew that she needed to do this before she even left here. God showed her that she would speak these words out. Can you just stand and share that? What was it? Come up here. I want you to make sure you hear that. Go ahead and share that, please.
This was a different night from whenever I did give that message. But before we left, God gave me a message to give to somebody, but he didn't tell me who and he didn't tell me when I was supposed to give it. But whenever we were on Aritupu, it was a message for the pastor there, and it was to tell him that God would be in his heart, his mind, and his soul, and whenever he needed help, to just go to God and ask him, because he would help him through it.
That's cool. And that was before we even left Oklahoma. God was already preparing her heart. You can put the mic down there. And then Clint got up and said, hey, there's somebody here that needs to be healed. And what happens? This guy just kind of like just walks right up. Guy that had seen us throughout the week. And what does he say? He says, I want to become a Christian. And you know, and Clint just jumped right in there and began to lead him to the Lord. Grabbed his hands, took him through Romans 10, 9 and 10 that we've studied, and then he did some inspirational stuff that was cool about being wise and winning souls, and he began to talk to this guy's heart and got him confessing the word. It was good. Thank you, Mary. It was really an encouraging time. And then our team just kind of, you know, we just kind of, our hearts were sweet, but yet it was kind of sour, you know. We hated to leave. And the people didn't want to leave. And Marcy's dancing here because what happened was one of the other ladies, the Kuna ladies, she came up and joined us as we were dancing before the Lord. She just came up. And Senior Calderon, he came up. He's a little guy, about probably 67 or so. He came up and was dancing with us too. Just a great time. So as we break it down, we said bye to this community. of Kunayala, the land of Kunas. And here you see some of our faces again. But you know, we each have a story. Whether it's right here in Owosso, the word says Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, to the uttermost parts of the world. And you know, the uttermost parts of your world might be, for this table, might be 2 blocks down the road. A community of people that you're living next door that need to know Christ. Just 2 blocks from your house. Maybe over here, it might be a little further. It might be people you work with. But it might be a community on the other side of town. And you know, for you people here, it might be maybe somebody that you have to call on the phone. People you need to contact and say, hey, I haven't talked to you in a long time, but do you know that Jesus loves you? And I've been praying for you today. And over here on this side here, you know, you might have more money or more mobility. Maybe you have a car and you can just like jet set around town, around the area, you know, all the way to Collinsville, Skytook, Claremore. You might be able to take the gospel of Jesus a little bit deeper. So now what? What do we do? Well, we could have kept all these thoughts in our hearts and just said, okay, well, we've got it packed. We can just, you know, take our luggage and go home. Throw it into a closet and close the door. But that's not what we feel like God wants us to do. We feel like that God has energized us, charged us that we can do what? Go hut to hut some more. We want to take you with us. We need to go door to door in this community. Do you know we have hundreds of people living within a quarter of a mile radius of this church that needs to come to know Jesus Christ? And they need open doors. We've got to be able to have a community of ministry going on in this church so that when they come, we are able to have enough children workers to handle the kids, that we have enough, you know, people to serve them, help them park their car so we can get all the cars in there. We got the expanded lot. I don't know if you noticed, we've expanded it. There's room for at least 50 cars now out there if we park right. And so, you know, there's just all those things that want to go on in our community and in our life. God gave me a remembrance of a song that I used to sing years ago, that God is moving by His Spirit with signs and wonders. And that's exactly what we want to do. We want to take that around the world in different places. No, we may not be able to take a team of 9 or 12 every time, but we can take a little bit here and a little bit there. Put together a team and go to New Jersey. We can go to Dallas. We could go to Oklahoma City. We can put together a team right here in this house right here and say, okay, we're going to tackle that area that Geneva lives in. I mean, there's hundreds of kids over there that need to come to know Christ. So from the bottom of our hearts, we definitely just want to say thank you for helping pray for us. Be there financially in support. Give us the opportunity to do what we have done this week, this past week. And of course, Pastor Don, thank you so much for believing in us to trek 2,500 miles away from home. Thank you very much.